Welcome to Coffee with Kim. I'm Kim Kalp, and every week you and I sit down with fascinating, smart, and talented leaders, CEOs, and founders so that we can copy their homework. If someone knows how to do something really well, I want to know what it is and exactly how they're doing it. Get ready for aha moments, gems of wisdom, and little-known tips and tricks that we can steal and use in our own lives. If you want to join these conversations and ask these experts your own questions, no point in just me having all the fun. Join us on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern live over on LinkedIn. Hey, friend. So good to see you. Happy Wednesday, wherever you are in the world. If you are new here, I would love for you to lean in a little bit, get those fingers typing, and let us know where you are coming in from. I will go first. I'm coming in from Colorado today, enjoying the crisp mountain air, and I even picked out a shirt that matches the trees. So hopefully, wherever you are, you'll let us know where you're coming in from, perhaps what's in your cup, because we are a super fun, friendly bunch here. If you are listening to this on your favorite podcast network while you walk the dog or fold the laundry or do chores around your house, never fear, you are part of this conversation too, because I want to hear all of your responses to this as well. I cannot believe, I'm sure you are the same way, I cannot believe today is July 16th. It's shocking to me. Where has the summer gone? I don't know. The fact that we're already halfway through it just kind of blows my mind. I already have friends that are talking about kids going back to university or kids going back to school. And it just, I feel like we just started summer and yet here we are halfway through. And as I started thinking more about halfway through, I also thought, well, gosh, we're in July. We're also halfway through the year. So we're halfway through the summer. We're halfway through the year. And if you're anything like me, I always use points, whether it's quarterly or halfway points, to just sort of gauge my temperature in how I'm doing at work, how I'm doing in my personal life, things that I want to improve on, things that I'm already making baby steps towards improving. And one of the things that I promised myself that I would work on super hard this year was my people-pleasing tendencies when it comes to work and life and balance, but especially in work. And what I do with client work, it is especially treacherous when you are a people-pleaser in that space, but really just kind of, well, how am I dealing with clients that might be overzealous or overbearing, depending on how you look at it, or just, you know, passive aggressive behavior or that sort of stuff that normally I sort of cringe away from? And how do I really continue and using this halfway point as a check-in to step into that bravely, to step into that with courage and say, okay, this is how I'm tackling people that are having these sort of microaggressions towards me, or this is how I'm tackling some gossip that's going on in the workplace or in the industry, and how do I, you know, steer clear of it or navigate through it. So I don't know if you are like me and Liz and Kathy and James and Jay and Isabel and Jen and Craig and all the wonderful people that we have with us today, but that might be you too. You also might be resonating with that message a little bit. And I think we probably all can to some extent. So I came ready with a ton of questions on this topic because lucky for you and me, we are talking to someone who is beyond knowledgeable in this space. She is, I mean, hopefully again, I always tell you guys to do your Google stalking before we get here. And I really hope you did your Google stalking today because we are going to dive right into the good stuff. We are not going to talk about like Tatiana's credentials and, you know, how she has like over 15 LinkedIn learning courses with, you know, millions of views, although she has those things. Like, we're not talking about her bio. You can Google that on your own time. We are getting into the hard hitting stuff, but I also want to make sure that it's not just all of my questions because God knows I have a lot of them. I want to make sure we are getting to your questions too, which is why I need you to lean forward and get those fingers a type in on what questions that you have specifically about workspace and how to manage that and how to manage other people in the workspace. But I also know that there's going to be a lot of questions that we might not get to cover in this time. So lucky for you and me again, Tatiana knew this. It's like, She moonlights as like a vision seer. She knows that we're going to have more questions, and she knows that we're going to have more things that we have trouble with. So she was very gracious and provided a QR code that we can use to check in with her. And as she thinks about making new courses with LinkedIn or content on LinkedIn, if you don't already follow her, she has a ton of good posts every single week that are packed with tips and tricks and hacks that you can start to use in your everyday life. But you can use this QR code to dive in deeper on topics that you might be struggling with. So how to present yourself in the workplace, or confronting a bully in the workplace, or a gossiper that, you know, you just can't stand and can't deal with. So there might be other things that you are struggling with, and don't keep those struggles to yourself. Share them with Tatiana, because who knows, you might inspire her next LinkedIn learning course, and she'll have to be like, I got that from a QR code. That was really the game changer. So without further ado, please raise whatever in your cup. In this case, for me, it's green tea, but whatever you have, and help me welcome Tatiana to our chat.
Hi. Yay. I'm raising my glass. I just have water. But Kim, thank you so much for inviting me. I think it's funny that you're in Colorado branded background colors, and I'm wearing my Greece blue shirt because I am in Greece, and I am drinking lots of water because it's hot here today. It was hot here today, and I'm so, so happy to join you. It's been 4 years of a LinkedIn friendship, and I appreciate you circling back.
Shelby and I talk about this all the time, but I always get so excited when you have new courses coming out. You had a couple come out recently because I'm always like the first one to watch them and to look at them. You always just, what I really love, no hate to other LinkedIn learning instructors, but some of the time I feel like some of the courses that I watch and get excited about, to me, they're kind of full of like fluff. Whereas your courses, I feel like you give really good scripts and templates and examples. So it's not just these theoretical, like how to build up a colleague, but you really give like two or three sentences, you know, I really like the point Giacomo made, or I really want to circle back to that wonderful presentation that Giacomo made. Like you actually give templates that we can use in our everyday life. And that I feel like is such a game changer.
Yeah. This content that you're talking about comes from a nano course called Communicating with Courage and Strength in the Workplace. And I brainstormed these 10 topics: dealing with a bully, a micromanaging boss, speaking up in meetings, being an ally to others, all these situations, but there's so many more. And I think for all of us, when we get a chance to step back and think through a script or watch someone demonstrate how it happens, when it happens to us, we're game ready to go. Because I don't know about you, sometimes the complicated, sticky situations happen, and then you're driving back home and you're thinking, I should have said this and I should have said that. And you haven't had a chance to be exposed to it. So it's a little bit of a warm up in a way of saying, get exposed to this specific context or this specific, I don't know, script, and then you can play with it. So that was kind of my thinking. And it's a nano course. So there's 10, one or 1.5 meeting videos, and they're very quick. And when I demonstrate, I even wear a different outfit. We go to a different spot and I play act it so that you can see it, very much like Selena Rizvani does with all her posts, a little bit like that.
But I just think that that's so helpful because it's exactly what you said. You know, I think we all collectively know, you know, for example, we should highlight other people in the meeting. Like we all collectively know that. We're not like, you know, completely clueless when it comes to that. But sometimes in the moment, I'm so glad you brought that out because I will know that, but sometimes in practice, I won't do it. And so I think those kind of key examples are really helpful. And I think especially when you gave some really great ones around gossip, workplace gossip, which we all know. I mean, my first job, I was like 22 years old at my first corporate job. And they always say your first job, you know, you're really close to those coworkers because it's almost like trauma bonding. like it's your first job and you like don't know anything and you're like, you know, taxes and workplace and HR. So you have a lot of like drama when it comes to that. But I feel like, unfortunately for a lot of us, that drama did not stop even though we are no longer in our first job, we are in our second job, third job, fifth job, or as Giacomo is saying, you know, a company full of people that are gossipers. So it's hard to deal with.
I did a little research on the gossip part, and it goes back to ancient Greece. I think the Greeks hung around the Acropolis and gossiped all day. People do a lot of people watching and just sitting back and kind of checking everyone out. There's a lot of this going on. It's fine when it's rapport building and you create part of a community. The problem with gossip, since you brought it up, Kim, is when people are gossiping about someone who's not there. And they are not able to defend themselves. And that's when it becomes, or people use it sort of like, I would say, Kim, can you imagine what Shelby was wearing the other day? I mean, come on. So I connect with you by backstabbing Shelby or trying to create rapport with you. And that's when it's problematic. And in the workplace, you need to be mindful because number one, it takes up a lot of energy, but it harms relationships and it takes up time. It's inefficient to just sit there. It's one thing to say, how was your weekend? How were the kids? Or what's the recipe for that? Let's roll. But I do think, especially with gossip, when it's not, when it's harming someone who's not there, we need to stop it. And that's in that nano course, I say either ignore it, redirect, or address the person and say, call them on it. Like, are you serious? Like, why are you asking? Or why do you say that? Kind of play dumb and try to get them to stop. So I think they do stop when they don't find someone to co-connect with them too. I see what a lot of people are saying. It's so easy. Liz is saying it's so easy to get pulled into a group for sure. So
exactly. And I also just feel like it's one of those things that you also just don't want to get caught. I think especially now in the day and age of phones and technology. I mean, we've all heard horror stories that you put something in the wrong Slack channel, or you press reply all instead of reply, or you forward it to the wrong person and you just, your face wants to melt. You're like, no, just don't, just rule of thumb, just don't do it.
And then when it happens, the last thing you want is for everyone to go, did you hear what happened? Did you hear what Kim did? It's good to say, you know what? It sucks. It's happened to me before. Let's not feed more into it. You know, I'm sure she feels pretty bad about it as it is. And so that's part of pretty much snapping and stopping it when it comes to the commentary and the gossip. Now, gossip can also be, did you see, you know, what people were doing yesterday, or what did you think of that song that they played at the conference and the intro that sucked, or that's more general. I think that kind of gossip can be that rapport building that the ancient Greeks did. But again, in the course, I speak specifically about talking about the person who's not present. And that's what creates some of the toxicity in the workplace. And that's where you have to be courageous and strong and use some of these scripts and situations as a warm-up. So you've seen it. So when it happens, you kind of know how to respond or what you would say. So, we should put the QR code again, because if you all have something you want me to fill out, and because I talk about, look at me crowdsourcing your learners, Kim, you know, dealing with the gossiper, dealing with the bully, the micromanaging boss. So the QR code, you can tell me what's one topic that I haven't covered, or maybe I need to approach it in a different way. I'm always looking for sticky, tricky situations that are not too specific. So thank you. Thanks for favoring me here. So sorry, you had a question, Kim.
No, I also think it's one of those things that sometimes, you know, Amy was pointing out that you can recognize a situation that's happening, but sometimes, you know, going back to your earlier point, Tatiana, you just like, you can't react in time, or you're just kind of like stunned. I wanted to offer Amy one tip that I am forgetting where I saw this or learned this, but in one of my LinkedIn learning wanderings on this topic, somebody was saying, in order to kind of buy yourself time, if you are sort of flabbergasted at a gossiping situation, or maybe a passive aggressive comment, or maybe a comment that's not so passive aggressive and is just more aggressive, is to kind of stop and ask the person, can you repeat yourself I think I misunderstood you. What that does is it kind of gives people a do-over, because listen, we all are passionate about our work. And I'm not going to throw a stone in a glass house. There's times where I've, gotten emails and said, are you flipping kidding me? You know, this guy's a moron, And then after a second, I'm like, well, I probably shouldn't have said he was a moron. That was probably not very nice of me. But so if somebody were to say to me like, Kim, could you repeat yourself? I would probably take that moment to say, okay, let me take a deep breath. He was not a moron. I was just a little unhappy with what he said.
It's always good to give people the benefit of the doubt. You can say, I want to make sure. I mean, we do this in Q&A. I teach lots of presentations skills in Q&A. We say, I want to make sure I answer your question right. Can you mind if you repeat the question? I want to make sure I hear it. It's the same thing to say, I want to make sure I understand what you said or you asked. I use this tip on students. I teach in an academic setting, and there's lots of office hour settings where a student comes in, clearly has not reached the level, say, from a B+ to an A-, and says to me, I want you to bump my grade up. So they talk, beat around the bush, or they may make the ask, which, again, I'm fond and glad that they have the courage to do that. So I will say, can you repeat what you're asking me specifically to do? So they may say it indirectly. So they may say, I need you to change my B+ to an A-. And I'll say, based on what? Tell me again what the facts are. So I have the person repeat it. Now, in a setting in the workplace, when someone is saying something that's not substantiated, you can go back and ask them to repeat. Or to our learner's point, it's okay afterwards to say, I have a little bit of time to think about this, and here is what I think, and put it in an email. It's appropriate. Don't beat yourself up that you didn't just think about it and you had the best words come out, that you had the opportunity to put it in writing, because you may need to collect your thoughts and you need to tame your emotions as well.
And I mean, we all have emotions. So I think sometimes it's also not realistic when people are like, oh, so-and-so shouldn't have reacted that way. It's like, well, we're also not robots, or at least we're not robots yet.
So. Exactly. Yeah. 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 So
we also always have those emotions.
Yeah. And consider, give the person the benefit of the doubt, be empathetic in the situation, but don't leave people off the hook, because in the list of behaviors that I have that create challenges in the workplace, Kim, is when someone is bullying, when someone is gossiping, when someone is micromanaging, when someone is taking advantage, these behaviors have been allowed. No one ever said, hey, wait a minute, stop it. That's not nice. When we continue to allow people to behave in this way, they are free range doing it again and again and again. And someone, I posted about this today in preparation for our talk. I did a short carousel on the bully. I know that raising kids when they were little, I remember role playing what my daughter could be doing to tell a little 2.5-year-old in the playground, stop, I don't like that. But it's a skill, and communication is something we can practice and we can learn and we can get better at it. And we need to, even as grownups.
Exactly. And it's something that, again, you have to just keep reminding yourself of. You have to keep coming back to, this is not one of those things that you can be like, oh, I watched Tatiana's course one time and now everything's instantly fixed. I wish it was. I wish it was. But unfortunately, it's something that you have to keep coming back to over and over again. I want to make sure we get to this question, because I think it's a really strong one. If somebody is presenting...
Hi, Giacomo.
Yes. Yeah. If someone is presenting in a meeting to their boss or to a team, but they are new at a company, so they are kind of like bottom of the totem pole, they don't have the seniority, they don't have like the high power position, what are some good tips for someone who is sort of struggling in that place?
You know, I have a short 1 minute in this course on being an ally to someone else, because we've all been in this role that Giacomo was suggesting. We were the new kid on the block and we knew nothing and we were not supported by anyone. If we can pay it forward when people are doing this for us, there've been many people that have been ambassadors for me in situations, and I make sure to pay it forward. But if you don't, I would say, I would go, Giacomo, to someone to say, you know, I'm pretty new and I want to make sure that I'm not sounding forceful and getting my voice heard. Would you mind referring to me or asking me a question? It'd be easier for me to share. So if a person that's at a higher position says, hey, Giacomo, tell us what you think. Oh, you looked at that data yesterday. What did you find out? That's easier for Giacomo to go ahead and say. Now, it needs to be a little pre-choreographed, and it may seem a little, I would say, conniving, but in the Giacomo would ask this person to help them have their voice heard. I also have a short version of being heard in meetings. Do your homework that you know what's going to be discussed, and you can verbally share something, or you can put something on the chat that someone can ask you a question about. Mainly, it's being verbally engaged and showing that you are connected and you have information to share, or asking an open-ended question that makes and has you sound being connected and informed, or connecting and saying, well, I read that in our annual report and that relates to this. Can you help me understand this? You're asking another question that just raises your voice. Initially, I don't think you have to make a huge contribution, Giacomo, because you may be too, it may be too soon for you to do that, but it's okay. It would be appropriate to have your voice heard by trying some of these tactics.
Well, and I also think it creates a culture that is really well-rounded. So, you know, Jen pointed out culture is only as strong as the weakest behavior you allow. You know, you want a culture of raising each other up. You want a culture of bringing all the voices in the table, you know, into the room, or else, you know, then you're living in a monolith as opposed to living in a really culturally diverse roundtable discussion. So I think also, you know, to your point, it helps the individual, obviously, yes, it helps them to be able to speak up, but I think it also helps the overall team as well.
The group, yeah. You know, a culture, a group, a work group is a living organism, and everyone in the group gets to know each other and knows and shares the DNA and the story of that group. And when an outside person comes in, it's very difficult for them to enter. It's much easier if someone reaches their hand out and brings them in and says, Kim, I know that you love, you know, whitewater rafting, and you did that in Colorado last month. You told me, tell us more about it. Or we're going, you know, brings you in with an open-ended question. And the people in the inside of the organization need to be aware of who's sitting on the outside and is new, and including them. That piece of inclusion is so, so important. And it increases retention. I think people feel more supported and more included. And it, as you said, it's a much more positive effect.
And I also think that's a really easy thing for all of us who are listening to this to implement. So for example, if you're hearing this and you're kind of nodding your head and going, yeah, Tatiana has a good point, I should be raising up other voices. Right. Make it a little point on your to-do list that it says lift one voice this week, literally on your to-do list under fold your laundry and, you know, take out the trash, like add it to your actual to-do list. And you're more inclined to then say, okay, today's Wednesday. Let's say I haven't done it yet. Okay, I have two more days left in the work week to raise somebody else's voice on a Zoom meeting, in person, on a sales call, whatever. And so those are things that you can, you can always say you want to do it, but actually start the action of holding yourself responsible.
And it comes with listening more and observing who is not speaking. So if you are the one that's talking more, you're not going to make space for that. If you do the, what we call in meetings, the three, then me, you let three people talk. And then, especially if you are the leader in the group, if you take the lead and if you take the mic, people are not going to share as much. So be patient, listen to what people are saying, and then say, Kim, tell me more about that. That sounds really interesting. Tell me more about how you learned that, or how did you find that out? Because that's what's going to raise other people. And as you said, be intentional. Say, this person is new on the team. I'm going to try to reach out to them. I do this in my academic courses where I make sure not cold call on people, but include them to find out what is that they think, because you always have the people that are raising their hand and speaking up all the time. And that's not fair to the rest of them. It's the same in group situations, especially in a virtual setting.
Oh, Absolutely. I also want to make sure we get to this question from Kathy, because I think this is also a really interesting one as well. But Kathy is asking, how do you have courage to politely say, that is not my job, if a senior manager tells you to do something that you're new to, or that you're not confident with, or that you're not comfortable doing? This is a tricky one, because I've also heard you talk about, you know, ingratiating yourself to the boss or the CEO. So I'm super curious what you think about this one.
Yeah. So this is a tricky one, as Kathy said, for sure. And it can, you need to make sure that you don't lose any tokens in the process of doing this, but you are setting boundaries as you're doing this. There has to be a so what that relates to that boss. Because if you say, I'm not confident and I don't want to look stupid, that has nothing to do with them. To say, I know accuracy is your number one priority, or I know that staying on brand is key and really important. I'm not yet familiar with that, so I want to be sure that I don't do something that keeps us away from that task. I would recommend X, Y, and Z. So you're setting some boundaries. You're saying, look, here's what I can do for you, or here's what I need to learn, to do, to see, so that I can get to this point to do that. But again, could it, I would ask, is it yourself holding you back, or is it beyond your job description? Or maybe if it's something that's not as clear, that question or that clarification should have been made earlier so that you're not in that situation. I'm not sure if it's an actual task, or if it's something you don't want to do or you're not able to do. I would go back to what's in it for the boss asking you to do this and having that harm them in the long run. That's the important piece.
I love that kind of simple reframe. So it's not about you kind of either not feeling confident or competent or whatever it is, but it's really reframing it of the, you want the other person to be happy or confident. That's a really key reframe. I would also say, and this is sort of one of those things, I'm curious what you think about this, Tatiana, but I think sometimes in the workplace, there is this, I don't know, je ne sais quoi, of like, you can feel someone's enthusiasm, or you can feel someone's sort of like flatness. And so if you say to your boss, like, I don't feel confident doing that, that's a lot different than if you say, wow, I'm so excited to help you, but, you know, I know how important the brand is to you, and I don't know if I'm familiar enough with the brand yet. How do you talk to people or executives, Tatiana, about, I don't know if it's called energy levels or like kind of gusto, or there's not really like a term for it in my, it's more of like a, I guess like energetic to help.
And, you know, and sometimes you can be misunderstood if you are energetic and outgoing and yes. And then you keep getting given a lot of things that then you are in over your head. That's another, the people pleasing part, and in combination with energy, where you kind of have to tame it and manage it a little more and control. I would even practice some of this role playing. LinkedIn has really good AI tools where you can go in and practice some of this dialogue that you can, and you can give a role to what the manager is and what you would say. Or there's outside of LinkedIn, some tools like Udly role plays, where you can put in the situation and practice it so you are okay saying some of this, or practice it with a friend and say it and say, is this genuine? Is this authentic? I'm not sure I'm answering your question from an enthusiasm piece. Videotaping yourself is important, because if you're like this the whole time and you really are doing this because you're too nervous to pretty much go, and not look as enthusiastic, you may be projecting the yes, when you really don't feel it. So therefore, you need to know what it is that you're showing. And that's where recording your role plays is critical. Otherwise, I don't blame people for thinking, oh, she's enthusiastic, let's give her more work.
She loves all this work we're giving her. Just give her more.
Yeah,
she's obsessed with it.
Absolutely.
Obviously, you interact with a lot of different executives and a lot of different companies. Jeff is asking, do you know of any companies that are sort of encouraging these brave conversations, or have content around having these sort of more front-facing conversations?
I personally, one of my favorite ones is Cognizant. I do some work with, quite a lot of work with them. And I do a difficult conversations where we talk a little bit about communication theory. They're so global. So you're entering a conversation and there's cultural perspectives from and perceptions from all around the world. But they do practice a lot of this. And we say, here's a situation. What would you do? A lot of this, Kim, again, I go back, it's skill building. If you practice it, you'll get better at it. If you're even a level above, if you're aware of it, if you're exposed to it, when it happens, you're more likely to engage or to respond in a way that will benefit you and is positive. If you don't even touch it when it happens, disaster or no action. So this is why companies like, as I mentioned, Cognizant does ongoing trainings on difficult conversations. There's books about it, and there's lots of LinkedIn learning courses as well. But again, we have to do it. It's like exercise. You know, you're not, it's not going to happen in your sleep. You do have to go out there and participate. Thank you, Jeffrey, for your question.
And then I'm curious for somebody who might be listening today and is kind of thinking to themselves, well, I like everything that Tatiana is saying, but, you know, my job now is pretty okay, or my boss is not that bad. He's not really, or he or she is not really micromanaging me. How do you, I guess, convince or how do you stress to those individuals that just what you said, these skills are still important, even if it's not something that you're facing right this exact minute?
Yeah. You know, I don't want to say this is always something you need to be doing. Maybe there's other things going on in your life and you're fine to be where you are and you don't want to be too many moving parts. But this is a key skill building level of management and eventually moving up in leadership positions where you'll face more of these conflict situations or being able to be given more responsibility. So if this is something that you want, because there's maybe people that are in this course listening or out there that are thinking, I like just doing my, you know, my code writing on my own. I don't want to say code writing. Maybe it's other jobs as well, where there's no interaction and they like it that way. That's okay. However, a lot of these skills relate and apply to personal situations too. We all have people in our lives, in our extended families, in our families that are our friends that we use some of these communication skills with too. So it's not just in the workplace, it does apply. In fact, quite often I say, go practice where it's safe and then speak up or say something like that at work, because you will have practice in the safe space with people that are not going to judge you as much.
Yeah. And the more you practice, the better you're going to get at it. And that's just, right, again, doing that self-evaluation work, which I think is really, right, important.
I see Liz's, maybe we can put up her question, attracting micromanagers. I don't really think what I'm doing is attracting behavior. And the advice, you know, I say in the video on micro, having a micromanaging boss, to have a little bit of empathy and wonder why they are like that, you know, what has happened in the past and makes them this way. And a lot of micromanagement has to do with trust. So I'm not sure, Liz, how long you have been working with people that are micromanaging, but hopefully if it's in the beginning, you in a way have to prove yourself. And then what you have to find out, what is the currency of the micromanager? Is it accuracy? Is it minute, minor detail? Is it on brand? Is it on time? Is it on budget? And go to them and say, I know this is important to you, and I want to make sure that I do this first. And then in the follow-up meeting, make sure you get things in writing as far as when do they want things, what time, how specifically, so that you have at least some documentation that you could go back in if they change directions on you, which is likely for micromanagers. And finally, Liz, I would say at the end to say, if this is our agreement, I want to make sure that you get exactly what it is that you want and I'll deliver, but I need a little bit of space and creativity and I need a little bit of buffer time to do this. You sort of describe or agree to have that specifically. It takes some gumption to do that. A newer employee wouldn't do it, or a younger, I would say, professional may have a harder time doing that. But again, those are the things that we need to be stronger on and do.
Well, and I think so much of it is also really having those, again, going back to what Tatiana said, those like uncomfortable or hard conversations with that person and saying, you know, what, okay, I see that you're checking in a lot. Would it make you feel better if I'm making this up, sent you an email every day, you know, recapping with what I did. So, you know, kind of meeting that person where they're at, but you also have to have that hard conversation, which is kind of uncomfortable in the short term.
And you're describing the behavior. You're not saying you're micromanaging or you're freaking out all the time, but you're describing the behavior. You're checking in a lot, or I've received several of your messages at midnight in the last 3 days. I want to make sure, just describe the behavior, because they may be oblivious and the 2 dozen people before you that they've done this with have never said anything.
Right.
So that's part of the communication. Again, you do it diplomatically. I have another course on communicating with diplomacy and tact. You've got to be tactful. You're diplomatic, but don't let it go and hold people accountable. And again, friends, practice some of these scripts. Don't just try the first time without trying that for the first time without having some of that practice too.
100%. Stella just asked a question. It's quite niche, but I think we could make it a more general question, which is, if you have been let go or fired in a situation, and now you're job searching and you're going to be doing interviews and you're going to be, you know, talking with other people and other companies and other managers, how can you explain, or how do you talk about when they say things like, you know, what made you leave your last job, or, you know, what brought you to our company? How can you answer that in a way that feels authentic, but is also maybe not oversharing, going back to like kind of gossip and, oh, that last company, you know, they stink, they're a bunch of losers.
The micromanager boss.
Right.
Always, always take the high road. And again, you need to probably practice these scripts for when someone says, I noticed a gap there. What happened there specifically? I would not over share or get into any kind of details that you should have a script to describe a little bit of saying it was unfortunate. There was a misalignment on values, or what they asked me to do, I wasn't able to do anymore. And we've left in good terms, if that's the case, because they may be calling that company for a reference or just a check, or they may know them. You never know. This is a small world. You never want to badmouth someone that you are leaving again, and try to get understanding. And people should be understanding if you're fired. Hopefully you have other references, Stella, that can speak to your integrity and your work ethic. And it's not just that one situation. I don't know about you, Kim. I've been fired pretty openly. I was quite young and it was quite traumatic. I've even put it in a resilience course, the story about that. It is traumatic, but it does happen. And I think it makes us have the perspective that we have as we grow into the work world.
And I think you're absolutely right, Tatiana. We've all had situations in our past, either with us personally or with a friend or a family member. So it's not as if, you know, it's a new situation. You know, lots of people have been fired. So it's about how to navigate that situation that maybe is new to you, but is certainly not new to everybody else.
Exactly. It's sticky. You can overcome it with some practice and with some study and pre-work, for sure.
And that might be a good thing for you to put into Tatiana's QR code, just to like plug that again, because obviously
I'd love that. Maybe we should drop it in there again sometimes. Yeah.
Because for anybody who just joined us, Tatiana is sort of crowdsourcing suggestions and, you know, maybe situations that you're going through or that you have been through. And so, dealing with being fired and having the confidence and interviewing skills to come out of that is definitely something that we all could learn from.
No, and Jan V says in a question, but what if they want to dig into more details? I, again, you have to practice how do you respond to that, to say, try to redirect them like a two-year-old that's throwing a tantrum, you know, like, and I'm very excited about your, tell me more about this initiative, you know, redirect them. And if they're wanting the gossip and what happened exactly, do you want to work there? Do you want to work for that person that's going to do this and probably nitpick at everything that you do? So maybe that's a telltale sign as well.
Exactly. I always say that interviews are a two-way street. It's not just you trying to get a job. It's also, you know, do they impress you? You know, it's like a date. It's not just, I want you to like me. It's, do I like you?
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
What do you think is when, you know, with a lot of these executives or people that you're dealing with, what do you think is one thing that you notice that just sort of universally seems to trip people up, or something that people are kind of, whether they're writing you messages on LinkedIn, or what's something that people are constantly coming to you with over and over again?
Internally, sometimes it's dealing with conflict, change, just adversity, and trying to settle their mind. It's sort of like coaching themselves through it, talking to themselves. That's what I hear in private messages quite often. Externally, possibly it has to do with kind of how I show up and how I am perceived. It's getting a temperature check on perception in different settings and industries, because a lot of people are moving through jobs and through industries and in the work world right now. How do they present themselves and how do they speak about who they are? That changes based on who your audience is. So I get quite a few questions, and you would want to think, I mean, for people that are at a higher level of where they've been, I've been just coaching some groups of people in an organization lately who they're getting ready to present their ideas to the C-suite pretty much, and 100 other people that virtually are watching. These people are so mindful and so aware of how they are perceived, how their idea will be perceived, what does it say about them, and how can they best present it so they show up strong and confident and prepared and competent. So a lot of it has to do with perception on the outside and kind of mental mindset on the inside.
And again, that's something that I wish it was like a one size fits all and a one and done, but that is something that we have to keep coming back to, whether it's checking in quarterly, like I said, or halfway through the year. It is something that you have to keep brushing up on over and over again.
Yeah. Yes. Christopher is right on exactly what we're talking about. Christopher, if you see some of the things that I write and I talk about, I bring a lot of references to athletics and sport and training and sort of getting yourself, coaching yourself and others around you. And that practice piece is really, really important. Kim, you started by talking about it's the mid-year point. On Monday, I had a post on, okay, same thing. It's halfway through the year. Here are three questions to ask yourself of what you've done so far from January through July. And how do you want to make changes of what, how you're feeling? What does it say about the work that you do? Sitting down and taking time to reflect on some of this is so, so, so important for our growth and our development.
And it's especially important, I think, because most of the people I speak with, and I'm sure most of the people who are joining us here today, we're busy. You know, we have jobs and the dog barfed and our kids are needing something. And, you know, we don't necessarily, if we don't carve out the time to work on ourselves, it won't get done. It reminds me of like cleaning out the garage. It's just like constantly on the to-do list, but it doesn't like actually get accomplished. So it is really important to actually make the time to do this type of work.
You know, what gets me, just for example, this past week, I made a goal to learn something new each week and I save LinkedIn courses. I don't know if you do the same. When someone says, oh, I have a new one, I save it. But I'm like, okay, I'm going to download three of them and watch them and make notes and do the activities that they talk about, because I feel like I'm learning and I'm doing something. So taking time to do some of those not urgent, but important things, maybe half an hour a week, it's really a very small percentage of the entire time that we have, but we are the only ones. There's no magic pixie dust anyone can sprinkle over our heads to help make that happen. We have to make it happen. That's why I talk about courage and strength and making that be there. Yeah.
courage and strength and self-motivation, which you also, I think, are really key on. And it's something that I kind of always appreciate out of your messages, because you kind of do always need that, like, oh, that's right. Like, I do got to kind of like pick myself up and keep going.
Right. That's true.
As you know, around these parts, we are super nerdy and we love homework assignments. So if you could give us a homework assignment for the rest of the week, or maybe this weekend, it could be to read something or to do something or to download something that you think would just help us continue to have those hard conversations, build resilience, get stronger mentally and with our own practice and dealing with tough situations at work. What would your homework assignment for us? Oh, I think she might have frozen, or maybe I froze. But you know what? Luckily for Tatiana, she has the best frozen face I've ever seen, because normally when I freeze on the screen, it looks like this. But of course, when she freezes on the screen, it's like glamour shot. Not surprising. Everything she does is just flawless. I'm going to answer this one for Tatiana, because I think I know the answer to this, which is, she talked about it a little bit, which is finding some resource, whether it is a LinkedIn learning course, whether it is a book that somebody recommended to you. I know you, you have things that you've written down, like, oh yeah, Shelby told me to read this book, or oh yeah, Giacomo recommended this podcast, but you haven't done it yet. You have the recommendation. You know somebody gave it to you, but you haven't actually made the time to listen or read the article or watch the podcast episode. You haven't actually done it. So what my homework assignment, aka Tatiana's homework assignment, is going to be, is to take a half hour sometime over the next couple days or over the weekend to do something that is on your list that has been sitting there for a while when it comes to learning and bettering yourself. So dig into that book that has been on your to-do list to read for 6 months. Dig into the podcast episode that your friend sent you 2 months ago via Instagram that you still have not listened to. Dig into that LinkedIn learning course that you saved 2 weeks ago on AI because you thought it was interesting, but then you didn't actually sit down and watch it. Whatever that is on your sort of to do or to save or to listen to list, take 30 minutes and actually do it. And if you are some kind of unicorn and you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, Kim, I have nothing. No one has recommended a podcast to me. No one has recommended a book to me. I'm about to rock your world. And what I mean by that is, I want everybody who's joining us live to put in the chat a book or podcast you recommend. Why am I doing this? Because no excuses, no excuses. I don't want you to say, well, I didn't have something. Trust me, we have a lot of smart people joining us here today. They are going to fill these comments with either a book that you should pop open or listen to on Audible, or a podcast that you should absolutely listen to. So please, if you're joining us, lean in, get those fingers a typing, and put in a recommendation here. I will selfishly put in a recommendation for Tatiana's nano course that she was referencing earlier, all about dealing with people in the workplace, dealing with bullies in the workplace, dealing with gossipers in the workplace, dealing with micromanagers in the workplace. I think the entire course is literally like 13 minutes or like 12 minutes or something. So all that to say, no excuses. You have 12 minutes while you're folding laundry this weekend. There is no reason why you shouldn't be able to do that. That would be mine for you. So you can't say, well, nobody told me anything. Janeev, I'm probably totally butchering that, so you're going to have to tell me, is recommending Atomic Habits, the book by James Clear. I have read that book not once, but twice. That is, again, one of those books that is always great to come back to over and over again, because you would hope that it's like a one size fits all and you get it and it's good for you forever, but it is something that you should revisit over and over again. Shelby is recommending Mastering the Basics by Dean Carroll. I've also dug into this one. This is such a good one. Again, filled with a lot of actionable gems that is really important. Kate is recommending Robot Proof, Higher Education in the Age of AI. That sounds super juicy and awesome. Grace is recommending Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. First of all, I would just recommend anything by Brené Brown. You cannot go wrong. Vanessa Van Edwards has had some great podcast episodes recently. She had one with Jace Shetty, and she also had one with Khloe Kardashian on her Khloe in Wonderland podcast, all about how charisma isn't just for extroverts. So definitely check out some Vanessa Van Edwards podcasts if you can. Tiffany is recommending Smart Not Loud by Jessica Chen. That is also a great book, a new book that is very recent.
I think there's gremlins in the setting here. I got on my phone and I noticed that you were talking about Atomic Habits as the book. Absolutely love it. I've also read it a couple of times. There's so many good books. One of the resources I was going to mention is Gemma Lee Roberts is back and is working on doing a lot more posting with her Mindset Matters, What Matters newsletter that I like to read. I also absolutely love anything that Daniel Pink posts. He has several New York Times bestselling books, and those are fantastic. Multipliers, I see that's mentioned to Talk Triggers. Love that. And I was also going to mention, based on what I was talking about, referencing Selena Rizvani as a LinkedIn instructor. She's also a regular contributor on the platform. She does a lot of these role plays where she does demonstrate some of the specific actions that need to be taken and scenarios in the workplace that are very, very helpful too. Yes, Kim is gone, I know. I know, this is, there's someone playing tricks on us too. So I wanted to say thanks to you all for joining our live today, Coffee with Kim or Water with Tatiana in my case. Check out the Nano Course and do practice your skills in being courageous and strong in the workplace. And I'd love it if you can share some more ideas that you have for us too. Have a wonderful rest of your day, wherever you are. And thanks for joining. And I'll go back and answer lots of the questions that came into the feed and be sure to connect with you all. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Whew, that was some good stuff. Thanks for being a part of this week's Coffee with Kim. If podcasts are your thing, subscribe to the show and you'll see a new episode appear next week in your favorite listening app. If you want to be a part of the conversation, join us live on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern over on LinkedIn. You can RSVP at getcoffeewithkim.com. I want you to have your questions answered because why should I get to have all the fun? And let's be honest, you know how to ask some hard-hitting questions. My guests and I cannot wait to meet you. See you soon.